on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? YokeCast back for another week. We close in on the final couple of games of the regular season for football. Volleyball has four matches left in the regular season. Unfortunately, the soccer season came to a close on Sunday, but what a year it was for Coyote soccer. So lots of things going on in Coyote athletics. Obviously, the basketball seasons are underway as well. That's just going to keep us busy here throughout the next few months, which is always good. Hopefully, we get long crossover season because that means that football and volleyball are doing very, very well. Big one for the Coyote football team coming up on Saturday as they take on South Dakota State. Obviously, Coach Johansson has been very open, very transparent about, you know, this is playoff football right now. And he has not shied away from that. Coyotes got a big win over North Dakota last week. Now they're going to need at least one more, maybe two more, to find their way into the postseason. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully they can get it done this week and then go into the final game of the regular season, which will be next weekend and on the road at Southern Illinois. And they'll know kind of, you know, where they sit at that point and how important that game is. But I'll tell you one thing, you win out here, they cannot leave you out of the playoff field. Of course, everybody else will play November 22nd, but that is the week that South Dakota has the week off. So we'll get a break. Hopefully it's only for a week or two or whatever it might be. But nonetheless, just two games left in the regular season. We'll get a preview of South Dakota State coming up here in just a little bit with Tyler Merriam. I had a chance to catch up with quarterback Aiden Bauman this week to talk about his career. It's crazy to think it's winding down. You know, most of us can still remember, it wasn't that long ago that maybe people wanted him to be inserted into the quarterback spot a little bit sooner. He came in on a Dakota Days game, led the team back from a deficit that they had early in that game, and that's where the legend of Aiden Bauman started to grow. And this is, this is a quarterback who's now come back for another year. He's currently second all-time in passing yards at South Dakota. He's tied for third all-time in career touchdown passes. He's second all-time in all-purpose yards. So he's done a lot, certainly, and he's been the quarterback to help lead South Dakota to the quarterfinals for the first time ever, to the semifinals for the first time ever, and hopefully he'll get another chance, you know, this year if they can finish off strong here, another chance to go to the playoffs and maybe find, some success there as well. But he's been great for Coyote football. He's been great for everything that we have done, and certainly appreciate the conversation. But this week I chatted with Aiden Bauman about his career at South Dakota. Aiden, it's hard to believe the season winding down here, just a couple of games left in the regular season. How has it gone for you this year? Has it flown by? Does it feel like, you know, you're going week by week type of deal? Is it just zipping by here in the last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of has flown by a little bit. You know, I think back to, you know, the last December when I had that short little stint of making the decision if I was going to come back or not. And that kind of feels like yesterday in a sense to me. And then now we're already towards the end of our regular season. So definitely has flown by, but I've enjoyed every step of the way. It's been an incredibly rewarding year. Lots of ups and downs and adversity, but, you know, really proud of this team and the way we're fighting right now.
You look back at, you know, the last couple of years, and you've helped lead this program to places it had never been, right? We go to quarterfinals, then you go to the semifinals, and obviously you always want one more game and one more win, but it just doesn't happen for most teams in college football. You get down to that Montana State game. What was that process like then, trying to decide what was going to be next for you personally?
Yeah, I think, first off, just, talking with my family and my wife about what the next step should be, what's going to be best for me. And, you know, I've loved football ever since I was born, ever since I can remember. So obviously, whatever my best chance of continuing on was. But at the end of the day, I think what really got me, and I've said this many times, was just how that year ended. You know what I mean? We fought all year to get ourselves in a position to get back to that moment, and we're doing that right now. So I feel incredibly happy and excited about the next steps this team will take.
you know, you make that decision and you're getting ready, you're going through winter ball and then you're getting ready for spring ball, and all of a sudden a couple of guys make decisions to move on to do other things. Now your offensive line looks different. You lose a wide receiver, some of that. Did that at any point make you think, oh boy, did I make the right decision here?
Honestly, no. I think ultimately everyone has to do what's best for them, and they decided at that time that it was. And, you know, no hard feelings for any of those guys. I know a lot of them are doing really well right now, and I'm really happy for them. But it was, you know, I say it's about the people here. It's, in my opinion, it's, you know, the people that are bought into this place and the people that make this program and the culture the way that it is. And a few people leaving here and there isn't going to change that at all. So I knew, I never had a second guess about what my decision was.
A couple of your favorite targets the last couple of years were gone as well. And you knew going into this thing that it was going to be kind of, you know, finding that chemistry with a lot of new pass catchers. What was that process like for you as you got into spring ball and then into fall camp and trying to help these guys along, a lot of inexperienced individuals?
Yeah, I think it was challenging, but again, rewarding. You know, I think obviously, you know, just little things like throwing after practice, getting on the same page of what, you know, where my mind is, but not even mine, more so theirs. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, as a quarterback, I have a certain way I'd maybe like to see things, but at the same time, everyone's unique in the way they do things. You know, like last year, Carter, truthfully, you have rules for a route, but the guy kind of went above and beyond those and kind of did his own thing, which was great, and he was amazing at it. And we're finding out those things this year with some of our guys like Lorenzo. You know, he's climbed into a huge role for this team. You know, he's made some massive plays during the season, and just to be able to kind of feel how he's going to run his routes, how Jack's going to run his routes, Tyson, you know, everybody. It's been difficult, but it's also been, I think, awesome. I think we're really clicking now.
There are moments, obviously, where you're not on the same page with a wide receiver, whether it's your throw or them not completing the catch or the route, whatever it may be. Then you hit on one. How rewarding is that? Because you can see that step in growth. Like, you're experienced, right? You've gone through the growth process. But for them, you can see it. How rewarding is a play like that?
It's awesome. You know, I think it's just the culmination of all the hard work that you put in. You know, like you said, those receivers the past few years, you know, I'd had 2-3 years under my belt with them, and it really clicked, obviously, last year. And it, like you said, this year, so many new faces. It's going to take a while, and, you know, a lot of people are going to be really impatient with that stuff, but we've kept our nose to the grindstone, and, you know, seeing it finally come to fruition on the field is incredibly rewarding.
What has to click, you know, between you and these wide receivers? I mean, obviously there's routes that have to be run in a certain way, and you have to put the ball on the money, they have to make the catch. There's a lot that goes into it. What has to click to really build that comfort level for you?
Do you want the full answer? Because I could give you the full answer. There's a lot that goes into it. You know, I mean, it starts with those guys, you know, just being confident in what they're doing. I think we talk about having a plan before the snap as a quarterback, but it's the same for any position. So those guys, they just got to be confident, and, you know, they're going to go out and they're going to beat the guy in front of them, and I have to be able to trust that. And we've gotten to that point where I do trust that. They're, you know, Lorenzo's incredible touchdown last week, it was, if you watch it on film, you know, I'm throwing the ball before he's even out of his break, because I just trust that he's going to make that play and get open and get separation. And then you let that guy do what he did with the ball after, and that's the fun part that you can be really excited about. But yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, but ultimately I think it's just trust and confidence in one another.
You look at how this season started. Obviously, you go to Iowa State, you knew that would be a challenge, and then you get Lamar, and you suffered we had Charles go down with an injury, and I know that changes the offensive game plan. There early on, there are a lot of people out on South Dakota. They were, you know what, it's not their year, it's a rebuild. You guys have kept this thing together and have stayed in the conversation. How do you hold that locker room together when it's, you know, different than it has been the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, I think I'm a firm believer that every week, truthfully, kind of has to be the same. The preparation, the confidence in how you attack every single day can't change, you know, with a really tough loss or a really great win. It has to, you have to attack every single week with the exact same confidence, the exact same preparation, exact same effort, and that's how you're going to be successful as a program. And I kudos to all the guys, you know, a lot of young guys that haven't been through the ups and downs of a season. They've understood what their role needed to be during that, and they've done a great job.
the win last week should spark a lot of confidence in this group, if it didn't have it before, right? Because North Dakota, a very good football team. You win that game. What does that do for this team going forward now, really saying, look, two games left, we got a real shot to be in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to what I just said with so many new guys and so many new faces, I think there is some, I guess, I don't know what the word would be, but validation, I guess, in knowing that all this hard work can pay off and it will pay off. You know, I'm not going to beat around the bush. It's been a tough year. We've had some tough losses, some games that have been really close and very difficult to finish, you know, at the end of the fourth quarter. But when you finally put it all together, and we still truthfully have not done that, I think our best is still out there. But to see that happen for some of those guys that haven't been in these seasons up and downs, these situations, it's huge for their confidence for sure.
I know we talked about, you know, some of the inexperienced guys in receivers that have stepped up. You know, Lorenzo Fenner, Tyson Bowes. You've had tight ends that have had to come in that maybe, I don't know if they were anticipating playing or not, but due to injury, they're thrust into it. LJ Phillips has been phenomenal. He was kind of in the bullpen waiting. He's been phenomenal since taking over. You're the experienced guy, right? You've been here. This whole group just feels like a young team that has continued to blossom.
Yeah, 100%. I think it all stems from, you know, top down, just the culture again. I think that, you know, what we've done this offseason, I said this so many times before the season started, but it's different than anything that I've ever been a part of. This team got so close. I haven't been a part of a team with this many guys, 110 guys that you can truly say are all your brothers. You know, you're going to have a few stragglers here and there on any team, but I really just don't think we have that this year. I just feel like we're all so close-knit. And ultimately, I think that allows guys to go on the field and have confidence and trust that, you know, I'm going to do my job, not for myself, but I'm going to do it for my brother next to me because he deserves that from me. He deserves my best, my confidence, all that type of stuff. And I think that's what's made some of those young guys so successful, is having that trust and, you know, everybody else around them.
Coach Morrison and Coach Vitzlum are co-offensive coordinators. What has your relationship been like with those guys? Is, you know, they build game plans. Maybe you help build the game plan with your experience. What has that process been like?
It's been awesome. You know, I think that they've done an incredible job this year of every single week just working to continue to get better and put us in the best situations that we can possibly be in. I think everybody has faith and trust in them. And ultimately, too, I believe that everyone has a great relationship with them. They're fantastic leaders of men, and we all believe in them and trust in them 100%.
A few games into the season, one thing I noticed was Coach Fitz ended up down on the sideline. He'd been up in the booth. Was that an important change for you personally? Obviously, he works with you as the quarterback's coach and stuff. How much did that help on the sideline?
It was huge, to be honest. You know, I think, you know, if I'm fully transparent, I think the beginning of this season I was really, you know, pushing myself too hard to try and do so much. You know, like you said, we had a young team, we had a lot of new faces, and I, you know, I was squeezing too hard, trying to make everything happen, and I was not playing my best, and that's obvious with stats and wins and losses, everything like that. And I think having him down there, he calmed me down. He's my number one supporter on the field. You know, him coming down there and being able to not only, you know, X's and O's help me with that aspect of things, but just, you know, be able to calm me down in certain situations, it's been huge.
I'm sure it's helpful, and I'm sure it's frustrating at times. The iPad's on the sideline. How much does that help, and how much do you look at it, and you just want to spike the darn thing? Just seeing the picture, it's easier to see it, obviously, as fans do on TV and replay or in pictures.
Yeah, it's helped a lot. You know, I think that aspect of the game, to be able to, in real time, kind of digest what they're doing. You know, obviously, teams they have a certain identity on defense, but they're always going to throw you a curveball, you know, especially me being a six-year senior, I've seen a lot, so they're going to try and throw everything they can at me. So, you know, obviously being able to utilize that is great. I've now kind of same time frame that Coach V came down on the sidelines, I've tried to not instantly go to the sideline if I, you know, don't make the right read or a great throw and just stare at the iPad and, you know, be a perfectionist. It's more, okay, what did I do wrong? What can we do better? And move on from there, next play mentality.
Sixth year for you. How many degrees you got by now?
Too many. No, got one. Got bachelor's right now.
We talk about that, and obviously you mentioned earlier your wife. You're married now. What is college football like, and game planning every week with a wife and all that stuff?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Honestly, I love having her here with me, and. I said this last season, after we got married, but this is the first season that she's, fully lived in Vermilion with me. So being able to have that, separation between the two, obviously this is everything to me. I've put my heart and soul and life into this game, but at the same time, there are more important things in football. So, being able to get home and open the door and put the backpack down with all the game plan and maybe decompress with her for a little while, it's been huge for me.
Everybody knows, obviously, your dad and his history, and your parents are there all the time, man. Every game, doesn't matter, I don't think, where it is, they show up, and I know their support means a great deal to you, and obviously, your dad being a former quarterback himself, I'm sure he's got some pointers if you allow it.
Always, yes, and that comes with maturing. I think my early years I wasn't the most receptive to it. I mean, my mom can attest that in high school that there was maybe a lot more yelling at each other than there should have been. But now it's awesome. I think he literally just was on the phone with me yesterday talking about just mechanical things that he sees from the sidelines, which is huge for me. Obviously Coach V and all of them, we work on that every single day, but just being able to have second set of eyes on it to confirm and all that stuff, it's been huge.
This week, obviously, South Dakota State. I know that, last time we played them last year up their place, felt like played the much better game. Felt like could have got a win there. This is the next one, and I know that's the way it's looked at, but how nice would it be to get this win and just keep this thing moving forward?
Yeah, it'd be huge. Similar to last week, just big for this team's confidence and moving forward and, fighting for a chance to play in December, obviously. So this is I kind of look at right now as the playoffs in a sense. You know what I mean? I shouldn't say it's do or die for this team, but we have to look at it like that. And we gotta at the end of the day attack this week the same as we do every single week, just like I said earlier, and we're gonna be ready to go.
I know that you're a guy who just wants to win. No matter what it looks like, it can be ugly, just win the darn thing. But in your career, you put yourself in a position, you're second all-time in passing, all-purpose yards, tied for third in career passing touchdowns, things like that. You're not done, right? There's at least two more games, hopefully more than that for you. Winning is important, but when you look back at it, up to this point, what do you hope the legacy of Aiden Bauman is for Coyote fans when they look back at your career and what you've been a part of the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I don't really I shouldn't say that, but I really don't care about the records and anything like that. Obviously, I care about winning, but I just want to be looked at as a great leader and a great person and somebody that any one of my teammates can say that if they ever needed anything, they could come to me if they needed, any help on anything, football or not. I just want to be able to leave a legacy of building the right culture here, which I feel like we've done a great job of.
Last thing I want to ask you about, you've been a big part of the last couple of years, Alex's Lemonade Stand, and I know that the Back the Pack guys and so many fans have been trying to push the fundraising efforts for that. Why is that important to you, and how did you kind of become the face of that whole thing?
Yeah, it's super important to me. I feel incredibly honored. Back in 2023, it was actually the week before we played NDSU that year, which was honestly a big turning point in our program, I believe. They came to me with this opportunity, and it was kind of, as the whole NIL world was starting to kind of blow up, and I just felt like it was such a cool thing that, obviously guys at bigger schools getting paid millions of dollars and cars and stuff like that, great for them, but this is something that was bigger than yourself, you know what I mean? Just something that, one, you could be competitive in, which every guy that's in this position wants to, but something that is making an actual massive difference in the world, so being able to be a part of that and now seeing how invested the community has been in it, it's arguably one of the most rewarding things that I've been a part of during my college career.
Yeah, it's very cool, and I hope people keep supporting that. Get you back to the top of the podium on the fundraising efforts. Aiden, great stuff. Thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
That is Aiden Bauman. He, of course, is the quarterback at the University of South Dakota. You can tell when you have those conversations with Aiden Bauman that he's still having fun. And I said to him at one point when we were talking this week, I said, man, you're kind of the old guy in the room, if you will, now, the old guy on the team, but you're still having fun. And he, with a big smile, said, oh, yeah, still having a lot of fun. So began his career at Iowa State, of course, came to South Dakota, began as a backup, but he has continued to move up the record books. And, boy, what a great legacy he has left at USD, taking this program to farther than it's ever been in the playoffs, and he's been a big part of that. Obviously, there's been great players around him, but, man, when you're the quarterback and you're trying to organize that offense, looking at the defense, it's a big responsibility, and Aiden Bauman has worn it well. So, you know, senior day this week for Coyote football, and at least two games left in the regular season. Hopefully, Aiden can continue to have success here over the next several weeks. South Dakota will take on South Dakota State on Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoff inside the Dakota Dome. Had a chance this week to chat with Tyler Merriam. He is the radio play-by-play voice of South Dakota State to preview the Jackrabbits. Tyler, we're getting into the month of November, which means obviously all these teams trying to figure out things as they go towards the postseason hunt or momentum into offseason, whatever it may be. These seasons, I'm telling you, every year it feels like they fly by faster and faster and faster.
You know, it's kind of like every summer you feel like you have all this time, and then every summer just whisks right by and you go, you know, I'll learn next year. I won't make the same mistake. It's a similar thing here. Oh, we have all this time and it's going to take a leisurely approach. And then, bam, here you are in November in the midst of crossover season. And it's a wonderful time of year. It's a lot of fun, but we certainly do have some juggling we have to do, don't we?
No doubt about it. And, you know, everybody this time of year, they get excited because there's a lot of things going on. You got postseason flaring up for some sports and the start of the season for others. Let's talk about South Dakota State football. Obviously, the Jackrabbits have lost back-to-back games, and the glaring thing here is the injury to the quarterback Chase Mason against Murray State. He came out. They still win that game, but since then have dropped two in a row. Kind of a revolving door, it feels like, at quarterback right now for South Dakota State as they try to navigate this thing.
Well, we're in that time of year where injuries start to accumulate, and that's part of how often you've heard coaches say that a big part of the success this time of year is just being able to stay healthy, right? And the Jacks haven't been able to stay healthy. And you can hide that sometimes at certain positions, but it's awfully hard to a quarterback. And so when you lose a young man the caliber of Chase Mason, that's a very significant loss. And then Jack Marble is a redshirt freshman, and he has a lot of potential, but he also is being thrown into the fire a little bit. Jack Henry has seen some time. Part of that is with his athleticism, feel like they could put a package in for him, which SDSU had done with Mason in the past, and certainly other teams have done too, and so utilized Henry a little bit, and then Marble went down with an injury late in that game on Saturday, and Henry had to be the guy for a couple of series as well. So it has been a struggle, and they're, when I say they, the coaching staff, I mean, they're trying to go through everything to figure out who's healthy, who's not, who will be cleared for Saturday and who won't. And there's a lot of quarterbacks taking snaps because you obviously have injuries that are significant to your top two quarterbacks. And then Jack Thuey is a guy who would have competed for the two or three job had he not been coming off an injury last year, and he's just getting healthy. So there's a lot of guys in this mix here. I have no idea who's going to play or how many snaps they're going to play come Saturday, John. And I don't know if the staff really will know until we get closer to kickoff.
I was going to ask you to break news and tell us who's going to play quarterback on Saturday, but we'll have to hold off on that. Is this, compare the quarterbacks. Can it be similar offense? Does it have to be different offense based on which quarterback is in the game?
The offense will be similar. You know, obviously there's certain calls that an individual might prefer, but they're not going to scrap what they do. Obviously with Chase Mason, you lean a little more on quarterback run in those big games where, again, like against Indiana State, they didn't call many designed runs for Marvel when they did that type of thing. It was with Henry in there. So it's more so of maybe putting a guy in a different setup, but it's not as if you're completely turning things over. It's very similar offensive approach, regardless of whom or how many quarterbacks we see on Saturday.
Yeah, played a lot of running backs as well this season. I know, last week got down to some guys who are just itching for opportunities.
Well, Julius Loughridge is the FCS active career leader in rushing yards when the season started, and he'd had some very good games, but just trying to find a home run hitter, if you will, because Loughridge is one of those guys who just pounds away and pounds away. And so is there another guy that can maybe share the reps with him? And one of those individuals is Corey Blair, who went out with an injury and unlikely to play on Saturday. So James Basinger's gotten some reps. Josiah Johnson stepped up amid some injuries at Murray State a couple of weeks ago and really impressed with his ability just to be physical and get downhill. And so Basinger brings something different than Loughridge. Johnson brings something different than both of those guys. But again, SDSU is missing three different running backs they anticipated to potentially be in the mix back when this roster was assembled in the spring. So they're trying to overcome that and just figure out the right way to go. But this isn't like some of those Jackrabbit teams of the past where it's one or two running backs and they're the bell cows. They're going to mix in a lot of different guys.
How about Alex Bullock this year? He has really helped that wide receiver room, one of the feels like many Nebraska Cornhuskers on this Jackrabbit roster.
Well, Bullock has certainly come on, veteran presence again, having played so much at Nebraska. And then with Lofton Ogrowski going down with an injury after a great non-conference, he stepped up and become the guy. And he's not tremendously flashy, but he always seems to get his hand on the football. And when he does, he always seems to secure it. And he's had a couple of big games here late, but a huge role in the Jackrabbits' win at Youngstown State. Made a terrific touchdown catch last Saturday against Indiana State. And like you said, you have Garcia Castaneda, who's a transfer from Nebraska as well. They do feel really good about the depth in that wide receiver room, but Bullock, I think they had high expectations for him, and he's even exceeded them with how well he's played.
How about defensively for South Dakota State, man? I look at that defensive front. I think that's a real strength of this defense.
Yeah, I think the front seven's been really good, and the Jacks have even experimented some with Kobe Claiborne, who was so good at D-tackle, moving him to defensive end with the loss of Reese Kirschenman, and that's gone well. And Logan Green is a team captain. He's played really well on the interior. Dawson Ripperda from Larchwood, Iowa, has had a nice year. They've been good up front, and the linebacking core, Joelman, Cullen McShane, have been very, very good. Chase Van Tol went down with an injury, so they've put Kiten Fife in there the last week and a half. But the front seven's been good. The secondary has had issues at times, and that's what Indiana State was able to exploit, and that will certainly be something the Jacks know they have to tweak. But that front seven, again, statistically, they've been tough. And even, I mean, you look, NDSU did not just run up and down the field on South Dakota State. Indiana State didn't do that by any stretch. They only had three offensive drives that didn't end in three and outs. So the Jacks have been very good defensively, but they've had those moments. And that's what, when you talk with the defensive staff, they keep going back to, yeah, it's great that we're good 90% of the time, but we have to continue to close those gaps and be even better if we want to be a championship caliber team.
You know, a lot of times you get to some adversity in the season, and there starts to be some outside pressure in some of that. How are they handling this in the building, knowing they need to get things turned in the right direction? Obviously, still lofty goals ahead for South Dakota State, who's been a great football program for several years, but feeling maybe a little more pressure. When's the last time they lost back-to-back games? It's probably been a while.
In the regular season and postseason together, you got to go back to 2019 when SDSU lost the finale in Vermilion and the opening round of the playoffs against Northern Iowa is the last time in the same year they've lost back-to-back games. So that backs up your point, John. It's a combination of things. I think some of that pressure isn't felt as much because of the fact that you have so many new individuals. You know, it's not like in previous years where you look at a USD or an SDSU and go, man, they've got 75 guys who are back and they all know how this works. You have a lot of new bodies. So they're not fully aware of the outside noise or the extent of some of those things. And I think the other part of that conversation is Dan Jackson has said this time and again, this team's dealt with a lot, and they've dealt with some stuff over the summer that nobody should have to deal with. And so losing a football game or being down in a football game isn't something that they allow them to be concerned with or bothered by. You know, they've been able to rally in some games just because, well, it's not that big of a deal. They still need to be able to fix issues. There's no question about that. But I think dealing with adversity is something this team has learned from, and they've grown together. And now it's just a matter of executing more than all that other stuff.
How about Dan Jackson? Obviously he's taking over the program here in year number one, a guy who you could tell just loves South Dakota State football and obviously tied to the region very closely. But how has he been in year one? I know they're going through all this adversity. We've talked about it. So you find out a lot about someone. But in your experience with Dan Jackson, obviously a guy they think can continue to build off of this success.
Well, the thing about Jackson, he's such a personable individual. And you go back to, he was the recruiting coordinator that helped build that group that led SDSU to the run of three trips to Frisco in four seasons. He laid the foundation for that. So he has the personality, he has the will, the determination to do those types of things. And again, he's one of those that, you know how it is, John. There's a lot of football coaches that all they care about is football, and they shut their doors, and that's where the focus is. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's how many coaches are, and they don't care about being out and about, and they just want to win. And Jackson's the exact opposite. And so he's won over the community. Those that didn't remember him from his first time around in a big way, it was probably a 180 in a lot of respects from what was here previously. And so Jackson's made a lot of hay in that regard. And again, he's one of those guys that has a lot of charisma. So when you're around him, it's hard not to get excited because of the energy that he gives off.
You know, I was thinking about this matchup earlier today, and you're thinking about South Dakota State teams lost back-to-back games. Obviously, they want to get some momentum on their side. South Dakota's playing with its back against the wall, trying to find a way to get into the playoffs. This feels like as must-win or need-to-win for both sides as we've had in this matchup in quite some time.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that desperation of sorts because, 2 years ago, it was a top-five matchup and all the excitement coming into it. But as you said, it wasn't if they lose this game, they're out of this thing. Like, if you get to five losses, you probably aren't making the playoffs. And both SDSU and USD know that. And again, the last thing you want to do if you're SDSU is lose three in a row, regardless of who it's to. And certainly USD, like you said, with its back against the wall. So there's a lot on the line here. I think if you're the Jackrabbits, you're trying to put too many things ahead of you. But you know, hey, if you win your last three and you're 10-2 with a loss to North Dakota State and a loss without your starting quarterback, like that's something they would consider, they being the committee. You very likely are a top eight seed and could even be a little higher than that. You have that win at Montana State and all that. So they can certainly still have a very high standing if they can win those three games. But that if is huge and highlight and bold and underlined and all those other things right now. You got to get one before you can get three. So I think SDSU's going, hey, if we just get a win, you know, everything can take care of itself, still be in a really good position. And obviously, as you know, from the Coyotes standpoint, they've put themselves in a really good spot. And I think that's a testament to Coach Johansson and what that Coyote team has been able to do. It's amazing when you don't turn the football over how you can start winning some football games. And that's what USD's been able to do, and they put themselves in a great spot. So I think you're exactly right, John. Both teams really need a win. And then you throw in all the energy of the rivalry game and what's happened previously, and there certainly is a sense that both these teams really need this one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think we're in for a fun one on Saturday afternoon. Tyler, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. As always, we'll see you this weekend.
No, I can't wait, John. Thanks, bud.
That is Tyler Merriam. He is the radio play-by-play voice of South Dakota State. Also does some of the TV stuff for the Jackrabbits on Midco Sports as well. Big thanks to him for stopping in and joining the show. A little preview of the Jackrabbits as we get set to play South Dakota State, South Dakota football on Saturday. Coming up here in the Dakota Dome. Final home game of the regular season for South Dakota. Time now to take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. The Coyote women's basketball team are home for an early game on Friday. They'll take on Air Force 11 a.m. It's the Education Day game. So that'll be an early start in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. That, of course, after volleyball Thursday as they take on Omaha. Then on Saturday, volleyball takes on Kansas City 11 a.m. It's senior day. They'll recognize or honor Cameron Ferris, who's been great at USD in her time, just a phenomenal individual, and look forward to seeing her recognized on Saturday. Triathlon team is competing at the Collegiate National Championship in Tempe, Arizona on Saturday. That gets underway at noon, and then, of course, football against South Dakota State, 3 p.m. It's a top 25 matchup between USD and SDSU. The men's basketball team will take on the Ambassadors from Ozark Christian College on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Coyotes looking for a Sunday afternoon victory. And then Monday, the women's basketball team takes on Buena Vista. That is at 7 p.m. on Monday night. Next Tuesday, we will have our Coyote Report Radio Coaches Show at the Old Lumber Company Grill and Bar. And then Wednesday night, men's basketball is set to take on Southern Indiana. That is a 7 p.m. start time on Wednesday. That's a look ahead in Coyote Athletics. Hopefully you can catch a game, match, or meet very, very soon. And as always, for ticket information, schedule information, stories, and more, visit GoYotes.com. I'm John Thayer. Have a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.